I'm Jeb Sharp, and this is The World. Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump dismisses them as members of the failed Washington elite. But it's hard for anyone to ignore the 50 Republicans, all former national security officials, who signed an open letter this week saying Trump is not qualified to be president and commander-in-chief. Jendai Fraser is one of those who signed the letter. Fraser is a former assistant secretary of state for Africa and was also special assistant to President Bush on African affairs. Jendai Fraser, what's in the letter?
Well, the letter basically calls into question his character, specifically looking at his inability to really deal with disagreement. The fact that he spends most of his time putting down those who do not agree with him, that he's very thin-skinned. It also calls into question, you know, his values and whether he has the experience to be the president of the United States. The issue here is that, you know, Mr. Trump is asking us to put all of the power of our country in his hands, but yet he doesn't seem to have the type of temperament that would allow him to exercise that power with restraint.
Where does this leave you? You're a Republican and he's your candidate.
Well, he's my party's candidate. And so where it leaves me most importantly is to say to my party, enough. You know, we lost the last election with Romney, who was a decent candidate, a very good candidate. But we felt at that time that we needed to open up the party and build a bigger tent. Now we have a candidate at the head of our ticket who is doing the opposite of what we all assess to be the necessary next move for the Republican Party to be competitive. And so it leaves me with saying to my party, we have a moral obligation to stand up against this type of candidate who's dividing the nation rather than bringing the nation together. And let's take a stance now.
It's amazing to see someone of your stature having to take this stand. Do you think the Republican Party can survive this level of public divisiveness?
Well, that's the point, is to make sure that the Republican Party survives beyond this election and survives as a recognizable party. It doesn't matter for people to hijack our party and continue to use a name if they're not standing by the values that that party has reflected since its beginning with Abraham Lincoln.
Given how many foreign policy experts Trump has alienated, who's left to fill those top positions if there were a Trump administration?
Well, I'm sure that he'll find someone. You know, I'm sure. And it'll be a very, very likely to be a very inexperienced administration. And, you know, our country will have to adjust if he should win. And if they're the advisors, they'll have to learn on a job.
Now, Donald Trump has responded. The signatories of the letter, he said, were the ones the American people should look to for answers on why the world is a mess. And we thank them for coming forward so everyone in the country knows who deserves the blame for making the world such a dangerous place. He called you all nothing more than the failed Washington elite looking to hold on to their power. Jendai Fraser, do you care to comment?
Well, I don't think that I'm Washington elite. I definitely think that any administration has many crises that they're going to have to manage. And the question is about how do you manage it? And so, you know, Donald Trump typically does what he's doing right there, which is to personalize, denigrate, you know, and push back without clear deliberation. He doesn't seem capable of actually listening to what people are saying. And so to me, I feel even more, you know, more convinced and committed to trying to say to the Republican Party and to the nation as a whole, this guy doesn't have the temperament to lead our country, and we need to rethink this. And I definitely will not be voting for Donald Trump. I'm not trying to hold on to any power. I'm concerned about how power is exercised in the Oval Office, and I don't think he has the judgment, the character, and the temperament to be the person who's holding the reins of power in our country.
Former Assistant Secretary of State Jendai Fraser is one of the 50 top Republican national security experts who signed an open letter regarding Donald Trump's lack of fitness for the office of President and Commander-in-Chief. Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you very much.
Let's turn now to one foreign policy expert who takes a different view on Donald Trump's ideas regarding America's place on the world stage.
Trump has occasionally, in his three sensible moments, suggested an alternative way of thinking about American interests and how American power is used, that if he stuck to those, we might be having a fairly interesting discussion.
That's Harvard's Stephen Walt. In a new article in Foreign Policy, Walt describes the three sensible concepts he sees woven into Trump's worldview.
The idea that American foreign policy should first and foremost serve the American national interest is not beyond the pale at all.
Sure.
Second, he argues that American allies, particularly our wealthy allies in Europe and some in Asia, are free riding on American protection, that we pay a disproportionate share of global security burdens. He's correct in that regard. The percentage of GDP devoted to defense is substantially larger than that of our wealthy European allies. And of course, Barack Obama has complained about this. And then finally, he's been skeptical of sort of nation building in far-flung corners of the world. So those three fairly sensible things are not particularly controversial. And if he stuck with those, we might actually be having a quite constructive and useful debate between Clinton and Trump about what America's role in the world ought to be.
Even if he's criticizing nation-building efforts and claiming to be opposed to dumb wars, his rhetoric at least seems incredibly trigger-happy and warmongerish.
Absolutely. And his instinct to sort of immediately go after opponents and insult them in the most demeaning ways, I think, is contrary to the normal way that diplomacy is conducted and the way that diplomacy is successfully conducted.
I think all of us struggle with what the moment means, what the rhetoric means, what our responsibilities are, personal and political, to this presidential race. From your position, are these things that will lead to, could they lead to robust debates about foreign policy? Could his provocative comments help us see our nuclear dilemmas anew? Could provocative comments about Putin help us shape a new foreign policy? Is there something useful here, or should we only be frightened?
Well, I think we should mostly be frightened or concerned. And I think it's unfortunate because there is a serious debate to be had now about how extensively the United States should be involved around the world, where our vital interests really are. Should the United States be taking on responsibility for providing security in Europe, in much of the Middle East, and in Asia all simultaneously? What role should we be playing nation building or dealing with organizations like Boko Haram in Africa or ISIS in the Middle East? That's a serious set of issues. And what worries me is that because that sensible view is also associated with his tendency to engage in racist rhetoric, his weird ideas about international trade, his cavalier remarks about nuclear weapons, that sensible alternative that he occasionally gets close to is going to be unfairly discredited by its association with a candidate who really is in many ways beyond the pale.
If you step back from the Trump drama for a second, are you worried about anything that neither candidate will address?
That's a great question. I think the biggest thing that worries me, I suppose, is not so much the array of challenges that we see out there in the world, whether it's slow growth economy worldwide now, environmental problems, climate change, the problem of violent extremism, and a series of other concerns that one could point to. That list is a pretty obvious list. I think what worries me most is the growing incapacity of many political institutions, both here in the United States but also in other countries, to address those problems. We know the problems are there, but we don't seem to be particularly good at devising effective solutions to it. And that, of course, makes people begin to contemplate wilder alternatives. You know, the system is broken. Well, maybe I'll just throw all my trust in this guy who claims he can fix it. And I was both struck by but also worried by Trump's acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention, which did have certain echoes of what I think of as sort of the classic authoritarian, classic fascist appeal. This idea that, you know, enemies are everywhere, that things are getting worse, the danger is growing, that our political opponents are really treasonous. They've betrayed us. They're not to be trusted. And then the real kicker is, I alone can save you. I am your voice. You know, this is what Mussolini, this is what other authoritarian leaders have always done.
Stephen Walt of Harvard University and Foreign Policy Magazine, thank you very much for talking to us about this.
Pleasure talking with you.